Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Thank you. Righto, let's get into it. Let's pray and let's see where God takes this tonight. Father, we just give you thanks for your word. And Lord, I pray that you would go before me in what I speak, and these would be your words. And Lord, let your spirit rule and reign in this house tonight. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So before I start, by the way, the title for the message tonight is Freedom for the Captives. And before I start, I have a word for someone. And I don't know who it is, but it was fairly strong on me. This morning when I was praying out the back, God gave me this. Well, I don't know if it was a picture or it was something for that this morning, and I believe this happened this morning, that there were people who, when we use the word freedom, they've almost said, "I don't know what that freedom looks like," and I don't know what freedom really is, and I don't understand it because I've never been free, and. And just moving on down that thought process, as I in worship, God gave me this picture. Does anyone know how many people have not? I mean, I know the kids probably wouldn't have, but how many people here have seen Shawshank Redemption? It would be most people. So you'll know who I'm talking about. There was a guy in there called Brooks, and he was an old guy. And if you've watched the movie, you might remember at one stage he just went absolutely nuts because he was going to be released, and they said he was institutionalized in the sense that he had been in there so long that he didn't know what freedom was going to be and how it was going to work. And this may be for more than one person here tonight, but it could be. But there is an area in someone's life here tonight, or people's lives, that you have never been free in, and you don't know what the freedom looks like. You've almost been institutionalized in that way. And so what I would like to do, and I really mean this, I want everyone to close their eyes, because I need to give this because this is what God gave me. The thing that God said to me was, it's someone who you would least expect, and that's what he said to me. But if you know that I'm talking to you, this is a night and it may be the start of something incredible. And, you know, if I believe God in what he does, he's revealing this to say, I care about you enough that I want you to know that I really care about the situation you're in, and I want you to be free in that. All right, so every eye closed. If that is you, I just want you to quickly raise your hand. Just hold it up for a minute. If that is you, if you know that's you, if I'm wrong, that's fine, and it's a gutsy call, but if it's you, I just want you to raise your hand, please. That's cool. Is there anyone else? All right. Just raise your hand if it's you. Keep your eyes closed. I got the first hand, and that may be all there is, and that's okay. Right. Okay. That's brave. Right, everyone, open their eyes. And what we're going to do now, for those people who raised their hands, we're going to pray. We're going to pray together as a group of people, because there's power in a group of people praying. And we're going to pray that thing that hasn't left is broken tonight. All right? And they will walk out of here in freedom. Okay? God cares about that situation and he wants you to be free. All right, so let's all together pray together. And I want you to really dig into God as we pray. Father, we just thank you for your word that you reveal. And Father, we can see these situations, and Lord, these are things that have been around for so long and there's no freedom in them. Well, Father, we just pray freedom into these situations. And Lord, we just pray that you will break the hold the enemy has. And it's not by might, not by power, but by your spirit. And so, Father, we just thank you in advance. We thank you right now for that breaking of freedom. And I pray even more so that you would give each of the people the tools to be able to walk out. Like Dave said this morning, to walk out. The door is open to walk out of that prison and to have freedom. And so, Lord, we just give you thanks and praise for what you've done and for what you're going to do. And we pray for great testimonies in this in the future, because we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, that others would find freedom in this as well. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God is a great God. Freedom for the captive. So I just want to give you some quick scriptures, and then I want to move into this fairly quickly. Okay, so Galatians 5 verse 1. It was for freedom that Christ set us free, completely liberating us. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery which you once removed. Isaiah 61 verse 1, and this is one of the key verses that Andy spoke about last week, but out of the Luke part of it, I think. The Spirit of God, the Lord God, is upon me, because the Lord has anointed and commissioned me to bring the good news to the humble and afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the wounds of the brokenhearted, to proclaim release from confinement and condemnation to the physical and spiritual captives, and freedom to the prisoners. John 8:36. So if the Son makes you free, then you are unquestionably free. And Psalm 118 verse 5. Out of my distress I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. God wants us to be free. He wants freedom for each and every one of us. I've been reading Kings of late, and I shared this with the guys on Tuesday in our staff meeting, a little bit of this. But in the book of 2 Kings, we see the exile and the children of Israel taken captive by King Nebuchadnezzar to Babylon. And so I want to read this story. So it's 2 Kings 25, 1-10, so it's a little bit, but let's just read through it to get a picture of where we're going tonight. Now, in the ninth year of Zedekiah's reign, on the 10th day of the 10th month, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he with all his army, against Jerusalem and camped against it and built siege works surrounding it. The city came under siege for nearly 2 years, until the 11th year of King Zedekiah. On the 9th day of the 4th month, the famine caused by the siege was severe in the city. There was no food for the people of the land. Then the city wall was broken into and conquered. All the men of war fled by night by way of the gate between the two walls by the king's garden, though the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, were all around the city. And they went by way of Arabah, the plain of Jordan. The army of the Chaldeans pursued the king and overtook him in the plains of Jericho. Then his entire army was dispersed from him. So they seized the king, Zedekiah, and brought him to the king of Babylon at Riblah on the Orontes River, that river. And sentence was passed on him. They slaughtered Zedekiah before his eyes, then put out the eyes of Zedekiah and bound him hand and foot with bronze fetters and brought him to Babylon. On the 7th day of the 5th month, in the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, Nebuzaradan, captain of the bodyguard, a servant of the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. He burned the house, the temple of the Lord, the king's house, and all the houses of Jerusalem. So all the houses of Jerusalem, every great house he burned down. All the army of the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, who were with the captain of the bodyguard, tore down the walls around Jerusalem. This is brutal stuff. And it really, really, like there's elements of the Kings where I've really seen the brutality of war and of what has taken place in those early times. As I read this and other parts of the books of the Kings, I recognised the brutality of it all. A couple of weeks ago, as I reflected on this, and I already know this, but I had a very clear thought. And the thought that God gave me as I read this, because I was just like, God, this is just brutal stuff. And he said, this is spiritual. This is what the spiritual realm looks like. You need to understand that this is what is going on in the spiritual realm. And so we need to look at it from a spiritual point of view. This is a spiritual war going on for our lives. There is a battle going on, a war for your life, for my life, for our lives. And as Andy so aptly put it this morning, it nearly always starts in our minds. If the enemy can bring confusion or twist the truth, he knows he can get a foothold. Now, John 10:10 is a scripture that, you know, it's probably Graham's number one scripture, and is a scripture that if you've been in this church long enough, you would have heard it before. But it says, the thief comes to steal, to kill and to destroy, but I have come that you may have life and life to the full. The stealing is actually the stealing of truth. So the enemy comes to steal truth, which is to do with our minds. You know, as we talked about this morning, the battlefield of the mind. Andy and I didn't collude on the messages today, by the way. It wasn't, well, let's get together and talk about this. But it was very much around the mind. And I know it's a theme of freedom that we're talking about. But it was very clear where God wanted to go today. And so it's not just, you know, this morning service, tonight service. It's a day of freedom. And God's trying to tell us something. But when the thief comes, he comes to steal truth. I just need you to remember that. To get an understanding of this spiritual battle or picture in Kings, we need to see the different aspects of this story and what they represent. So, you know, if you've heard it before, it's the types that we see in the Bible, if you understand what types are. So what they represent. So Babylon and Egypt really both represent Satan and his kingdom. The children of Israel really represent God's children. So they represent your life and my life. And Jerusalem is really a picture of the church. And most of the people were taken into exile and taken captive in Babylon. But it's interesting when we see this in the way it works in the world, and we see, you know, people's lives and, you know, whether they've been Christians or are Christians or becoming Christians, that some were also displaced, some to Egypt. So different forms of the world, but they were displaced to Egypt. But there were some that actually deserted the faith. They were deserters. It says that in 2 Kings. And I don't want to read that, but it's pretty clear. Now, Jerusalem was destroyed, and we read that all the houses were destroyed, the walls were destroyed. And it wasn't until 50 years later that the children of Israel returned. Considering the types of Babylon and Egypt and Jerusalem, considering that, 50 years is a long time. And they're thinking in the mind, and therefore the way that they would have lived life for many would have changed significantly to the way it was, the way it had been in Jerusalem, to become more like the Babylonian or the Egyptian lifestyle. It was highly unlikely that the way they thought, the way that their thinking was, would have changed. Like when they returned 50 years later to Jerusalem, it's highly unlikely that immediately it just would have changed back. And so they probably would have lived like the world. They probably would have worried like the world. See some similarities, worrying like the world. They probably would have worked like the world, done relationships like the world, maybe resolved conflict like the world does, handled money like the world, prioritised like the world, and compromised like the world in many ways. That over that 50 years, that would have, you know, crept into their way of life, and it started in the mind. Now, there are parts of our thinking and our mind that we, whether we like to admit it or not, we have the worldly aspects of our thinking. And so, you know, the Saviour has come and said, well, I'm saving you from this and to this. And so there are elements in all of us that are in that process of change. And we all are being changed more and more into the image of God. Well, that's what God wants anyway. He wants us all to be changed more and more into his image. The more we change, the more change that takes place into his image, the more free we become. So there's freedom in Christ. You know, he says it was for freedom that Christ has set us free, because he wants us to be more free and more free and more free. And so the more change that takes place into his image, the more free we become. It's a natural or a spiritual outworking. And it's extremely powerful to understand this, and don't get stuck in the world's thinking. But when God puts something before you, is to move into it and ask him to help you to change. See, the word says, for you shall know the truth. For you'll know the truth. This was something that came out of this morning as well. For you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Along with, and this is how it works together, the Holy Spirit guiding and leading us. The big question is, this is the question, do we allow God to change us in everything, or do we just cherry pick? Do we just say, God, change us in this, but not that? Because I really enjoy the worldly aspect of that. That's something I really enjoy. So I don't really want to change that. But think back again. The more change that takes place, the more freedom that takes place. And sometimes, because we're in a battle, it feels like, I don't know whether I want to fight this to get this freedom. But remember, it's not us fighting, it's God fighting for us. We've just got to allow him to do that. And sometimes we've just got to lay down and go, right, oh God, I give it to you. But are we prepared to do that? This is a really important scripture tonight. And if you're gonna take one scripture to home, I really want you to take this one. And it's 1 Corinthians 2, 13 to 16. And I love this scripture. I just want to read it together. We also speak of these things not in words taught or supplied by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining and interpreting spiritual thoughts with spiritual words, for those being guided by the Holy Spirit. But the natural unbelieving man does not accept the things, the teachings and revelations of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness, absurd, and illogical. I just want to stop there. Have you ever had a conversation with someone who doesn't know God, and you bring a spiritual concept to them, and they go, that is absurd. That is totally illogical. Because God's ways are higher than our ways. I've just lost my spot. Where are we? Hang on for those natural revelations of the Spirit, absurd and illogical to him, and he is incapable of understanding them because they are spiritually discerned and appreciated. And he is unqualified to judge spiritual matters. But the spiritual man, the spiritually mature Christian, judges all things, questions, examines, and applies what the Holy Spirit reveals, yet is himself judged by no one. The unbeliever cannot judge and understand the believer's spiritual nature. Now, this is the really important part of the verse. It says, for who has known the mind and purposes of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have, when it talks about the mind, it says, but we have the mind of Christ to be guided by his thoughts and purposes. So you might thought, well, I just don't know whether I've got it. But we have the mind of Christ. And it's a process that we walk in. It is important to recognise that as Christians, we all have the mind of Christ, but we all come from a different place with different upbringings and different experiences. And some of those might be out of Egypt or out of Babylon. And so we're in a process of change. So it is important not to compare where you are in your walk with others. So don't sit there tonight where it talks about the spiritually mature. Don't sit there tonight and go, well, I'm just not at that place. There's a process that God is taking you through. Remember, it's God's work and he is faithful to complete it. He says that in his word. We are free, but we are on a freedom walk. So once again, that picture that Dave said this morning, he said the doors are open, but we need to actually walk out of those doors into the freedom that God has for us. I just want to give you a very quick testimony. When I was in my mid-20s, I came back to God after walking away. And if you like, let's just put me into this story, as in my life was in Jerusalem and I was taken out of Jerusalem into Babylon, all right? And then there was a moment where I came back. So I came back to Jerusalem, let's say 50 years later. And it was interesting. One of the first things that happened to me as part of that started a real process of change was an obedience thing. So it was a truth of the Bible that was an obedience thing. And slowly but surely I saw an outworking, and it was, believe it or not, it was tithing. It was actually tithing. And I remember it, and this is not a big note thing, but I remember this thing that God had been on me to tithe, to be obedient to his word. And I said, righto, God, I'll do it. And I can remember going, I haven't got enough cash this week. And so just week after week, I actually kept note of a sense what I owed. And so this was over a period of time, but in the end, it's back when, does anyone know what a check is? That was when there was actually checks. And I wrote a significant check out, and we weren't in a big church, but a smaller church, and the pastor actually rang me and just said, look, I just want to thank you. That's very significant. And I said, please don't thank me. Please don't thank me. That's just a build-up, which I should have been. But there was a process of change of me being able to trust God in everything and in more things than what I had previously. And it's interesting to when we think about that scripture where it says, to someone who doesn't know God, that would be absurd. They would go, what are you thinking? But there's a freedom that is in my life now. And there's been a process and there's been other things. But that began a massive journey for me of a freedom walk. And I just want to say that if God's putting something of obedience on you in the truth of his word, then step into it. Don't walk through the door. And actually obey, and as God calls you, walk through it, even if it hurts a bit, because the freedom is going to be better than staying in the place that you are. And so it's just really important that we walk out of the bonds of Babylon and Egypt and into the freedom that God has for us. And so just reading on. So the children of Israel returned to Jerusalem from exile, and fast forward another few years, the city was destroyed. So the city had been destroyed, and the outer walls and gates were all broken down. So they'd all been broken down, as we read, and there was no protection. The people were back, so they went back to Jerusalem. They were back where they belonged, but were defenseless. That's what one of the commentaries said. Enter Nehemiah, okay? And I want to finish by just tying this up with the story of Nehemiah, so we understand the importance of the things that we outwork in our lives as Christians. Okay, so enter Nehemiah. And Nehemiah 1:2-4 says, Hanai, one of my brothers, and some men from Judah came, and I asked them about surviving Jews who had escaped and survived the captivity. And about Jerusalem, they said to me, the remnant there in the province who survived the captivity are in great distress. So the ones who are in Jerusalem are in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its fortified gates have been burned, destroyed by fire. And in verse 4, now it came about when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I was fasting and praying constantly before the God of heaven. And it went on that Nehemiah, if you haven't read the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah began the process, empowered by God, to rebuild the walls and the gates. And the commentary said, this is what the commentary said, the lack of the city wall meant that the people were defenseless against their enemies. So they come back to Jerusalem, so they come back to the church, but they were defenseless against their enemies. Now remember, Jerusalem had totally been destroyed. Now the book of Nehemiah is an amazing story, and I highly recommend that you have a closer look than we can right now. All right, there is so much in it about the Christian life. The different gates, like you've got the sheep gate, the fish gate, and those gates are all specifically about different aspects of our Christian walk and Christian life. Okay, but they've got different names and meanings, and all through to the opposition of the walls being put up. Now Nehemiah achieved the rebuilding of the walls and the gates in an amazing amount of time. Now, here are a couple of things to take away from Nehemiah. Now, you're saying, well, what's that got to do with what we've been talking about and freedom? Well, we've got to fight to keep freedom. You can't drop the ball and just pretend like lights, you know, it's going to go on okay. We have to fight for freedom. We are in a war, as I read before. We are in a battle. We're in battles every day, and we must fight for freedom. And here's a couple of things that when Nehemiah rebuilt the walls and gates and the importance of them is the protection. So the thief can't come in and just steal stuff away. The thief can't come in and, you know, rob your life. It's important that it's not just about returning to Jerusalem, but get the walls and the gates around your life. And the first thing, there's five quick things to finish off, all right? And this is about Nehemiah. Just remember about this freedom, fighting for freedom. Number one, it took a man to decide to rebuild the walls and gates. It was on purpose. We must be on purpose in our lives to rebuild the walls if they've come down, or the gates. It must be on purpose. We can't just pretend or think it's going to happen. It's got to be on purpose. With God's help, He'll help us, but we've got to be on purpose where we've had, you know, walls and gates come down and the enemy's got a way in. It's got to be on purpose. The second thing, which I think was on the slide, and this is what I'm moving to, the freedom we have needs to be protected. How is it protected? Well, things like this: reading the Word, understanding it, knowing the truth and obeying it. It's part of what I said before. It's not just going, that's nice, dear, that's a nice passage, that's really good. It's actually getting into it, making sure it's the truth. That's part of putting up the gates and the walls. And these aren't in any particular order, okay? Prayer. Prayer is just so important as part of this, rebuilding the walls and keeping protection around. The Holy Spirit. If there's people here that don't, you know the person of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, I send you the helper of the Holy Spirit, and He will help you in many things, and pretty much in all things in the Christian life. So if you don't understand the Holy Spirit, get some help on that. Come and speak to me afterwards. I'll pray for you for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's just so important as part of, you know, the walls and the gates around our life. Accountability is important. Have some good accountability around you. People you can trust. I've talked about this before, the accountability side. You've got to have the right people who can speak positive things into your life, but also can, you know, ask you the hard questions. The church is just so important. It's so important to be in church and be part of the body of Christ. That's, you know, Jesus said, don't give up meeting with the believers even more as the evil days approach. And we can see it. It says, don't break fellowship. Stay in. That's such an important aspect. Thankfulness. Be thankful to God for your life. I think it's just such an important aspect of this. Praise God. You know, the Bible says praise is the power of heaven. Praise God. Praise Him for your life. And the last thing I had is be deliberate. You know, one of the things that, you know, Matt mentioned Ephesians 6, but it says put on the full armour of God. So, you know, in other different verses says, clothe yourselves with humility. We must be deliberate in our Christian walk. And we've got to fight for our freedom. And these are practical things we can do. God will empower us, but we must do these things because they just help to keep the protection out so the enemy can't get in and come and steal stuff and steal, kill and destroy. Number three, there was opposition to the rebuilding of the wall. There will be opposition come against your life, okay? Don't be discouraged by that. That means you're making progress. If there's no opposition, then you wonder what's going on. So it means you're close to the battle lines. And so don't be discouraged, but be encouraged and even push harder. Number four, it was strategically done. You know, God rebuilds things in our lives and builds things in our lives step by step. He does it strategically in the time that we can. And we need to be obedient, obviously, but he can rebuild it. Now listen to this. It's got to be built on the truth, not a truth. All right? Now, imagine, let's think of the gates and the walls. Imagine if one of the gates was not based on truth, so it was flimsy. Imagine if it's not based on truth and you think, oh, that's a nice idea. That's just a good idea. It sounds like it's nice, but it's actually not based on truth. Well, that means it's got no structure and could easily be pushed over. Or what happens if it's, you know, the truth isn't quite there and the gate is built this far away from where it should be? That means the enemy can get in. And so make sure it's based on truth and that it's strategically done. And the last one was, and this is where we need to be encouraged, because the Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail against the armies of the Lord. That means that we are taking ground from the enemy. And that excites me more than anything, because you can see the work of the enemy, but I love it when we take ground off the enemy. It is just fantastic. But number five says, the completion of the wall put the enemy on notice. And I just want to read you this scripture. I wonder whether we got it. Did we get it, Dave? We got that scripture? Just read this. Now, Nehemiah, this is after they're finished. 6:15-16. So the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month Elul in 52 days. When all our enemies heard about it and all the Gentile nations around us saw it, they lost their confidence, for they recognised that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. When God is the captain of the ship and we are ruled and reigned by Him, nothing can stop us. Nothing can stop you. And so I just want you to be encouraged tonight, but two things. And freedom is something that God wants for your life, okay? And if we do the full circle on what happened originally in Jerusalem, God had had enough of people's unfaithfulness and just doing whatever they wanted to do. And so they, in a sense, probably left gates open and the enemy got in. But it's just so important that we fight for freedom. And so we want to see more people come into the kingdom. And, you know, it's great catching fish, but it's so important to clean fish as well. And so, you know, we need... I'm glad you guys are here. It doesn't matter that others aren't, but it's just so important that we fight for freedom. God wants us to be free, but we need to fight for it. Okay, I'm going to pray, and we're going to close, and I'm just going to ask a blessing over each of you. Father, we just thank you for your word tonight. We just thank you for, you know, the great pictures that we see out of the Old Testament, and, you know, that we are in a spiritual war, and it's important that we play our role. You will fight for us, but we need to play our role of obedience. And Lord, we just thank you that you are Lord over every situation. And so, Lord, where there may be struggles here tonight in people's lives and there's not freedom, we just pray for freedom in those situations. But, Father, I just pray that you would help us in every way to continue to fight for freedom and get those walls and gates up around so the enemy can't get in and steal the truth that matters. And Lord, ultimately, we want to be on the attack, not on the offence. And we want to see people coming into your kingdom. So strengthen us, we pray tonight. Strengthen every person here. We just pray by the power of your Spirit that you would go before us in every way. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. Amen. Amen.